Welcome to the King's Chapel Alaska podcast. From wherever you are listening, we are so excited that you tuned in today. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word.
Well, I just want you guys to know we had an amazing time with your brothers and sisters at Eagle River this morning. Man, as you can probably also tell, Pastor Gil, represent. We're going to have a really good time this morning, but as you can tell, my voice, I've been battling a little bit of a sickness. Now, it's not corona, so y'all calm down, okay? I know you saw an Asian man up here and you had questions. Well, let me go ahead and just bring you some clarity in this day and hour, okay? But I remember, I think I actually had my first hallucination last night. I was so sick. I was like seeing things. I was like, Lord, is it you or is it not? Like the elephant in the room is a literal elephant or like metaphorical? And I just was battling and I was fighting. And I remember, you know, your pastors, how many of you appreciate your pastors? They're absolutely incredible. Listen, you can keep the best preachers. You can preach, keep all the best talkers. Give me some leaders that have history with God and who are dedicated to making sure you walk out your history with God. And that's what your pastors are. I absolutely love them for that. There are very few people that you can look at and you can say, okay, these are the ones that walk with the Father every day of their life. Every breath that they breathe is derived from relying completely and totally on the Father. And you know what? If God can do that through them, they've got something in there that they can give to me that can help me be able to be the same way. So your Pastor Daniel and Pastor Karen. Pastor Karen caught me in one of my hallucinogenic moments, you know, I'm like drifting off. It was partially because, you know, Toby had made this amazing, amazing steak last night for us. And so I was slightly blown away by that, but it's also because I was tired. And they said, you know, listen, Pastor Robert, we can get him to be able to step in for you, you know, and everything. And again, all of your leaders are so, your ministers, part of KC, are so gracious, willing to step in and help. And I was like, no, bro, I got it. I can do this, you know. But how many of you know, like, you're like saying, I got this, and then you got to like turn away because you're facing the wall and you're not talking to anyone. You got to like turn around and be like, oh, I mean, I got this, man. And you know, I overheard like Pastor Daniel's, you know, talking with Pastor Robert is like, you know, he may not be very long with us. Will you be able to step in case he may not have a lot of time left? Look at him, man. He's talking to that tree like it's Minister Gill, but it's not, you know. Crazy stuff. But here's the thing is that I was like, there was something that compelled me on the inside where I was like, no, I have to get up in the morning. Because God has a word that he wants to release. And I was like, I had Eagle River in my mind. And I was like, oh, there's something that God has placed inside of me that I'm not a special person or anything, but I know that God has given me an assignment. And I thought about 1 o'clock and I was like, listen, there's dedicated people at 1 o'clock service too. I got to be able to get in there and be able to release what God has given me. And so I go in and I go on a medicine regimen. Like I start becoming Rain Man. I start making like these like vitamin C formulas in my mind, and I'm like, okay, if I take two extreme C's and then I mix it with an Airborne and then I get some of that echinacea that Pastor Shannon gave me, maybe it will then give me the strength of Samson and I will arise with the strength of 10 men, right? I got 1.5 strength, so that's not bad. I take it there. But I got to tell you that what I want to begin to talk with you this morning is that God is getting ready to mobilize his warriors in this day and hour. And I believe that God is getting ready to anoint you if you're inside of this room as a prophetic minister, but also as a prophetic warrior. God has anointed you in this season to be a warrior of light. And what I mean is that when you begin to speak, when you begin to release the declarations that God will give you in this season, it is going to unlock another dimension of prophetic anointing that the Lord says that I have preserved for such a time as this. And even if you look inside of Scripture, you see outliers, you see certain people, men and women of God inside of scriptures that have demonstrated a facet and dimension of this prophetic anointing. And the Lord says that what I have done in a few, I am going to do in a remnant inside of Alaska. And I want you to know that you are the one that he has chosen. You are the one that he looked from outside of eternity. And he said, I have chosen this moment. I have chosen this time. I have chosen this people who didn't understand why they were in Wasilla, Alaska. but I have chosen them to be a generation that would have a prophetic voice inside of them and vision to discern the times and the seasons, so that the eyes of the nation would look and say, what it is that the Lord is saying, that would begin to ask and say, how can we begin to hear the Father the way that you do? And I want you to know that God says now is the time to unlock this dimension of the prophetic. And it's this. Okay, right now, I'm just going to be real with you guys. I'm going to talk straight from my heart about what I feel God is going to begin to do in this area. And it is this, is that God does not want you to be warrior in name only. He wants you to be warrior in behavior, action, and in its totality. What it means is that the Lord says that he is getting ready to replace every type of mindset, everything that has tried to diminish, marginalize, and minimalize you and who you think that you are. And the Lord says that I am going to place a warrior identity inside of you, that it is something that begins to infiltrate every way that you breathe, everything that you see, every way that you interpret your circumstances. The Lord says that I will cause a warrior anointing to rise from you. Now, here's the amazing thing, is that it's so like God to begin to raise up a warrior when in a culture and an environment where the opposite is declaring the reality is true. And you look all around you, you look everywhere around you, and you see that there are people that are demonstrating victim mentality. Victim mentality. Now, here is the thing that's interesting, is that I want to begin to say this one thing, okay? Many of us in this room have walked through horrendous, crazy, difficult things and seasons in our life. We have gone through and overcome things that if we told some of our other friends, our lightly stomached friends, they would get sick because of how intense and how it would have broken them if they had gone through the same thing. Some of you have overcome things that even last week, you're like, man, you're still reeling from those different things. And I want to tell you this, is that the pain that you feel and the things that you have gone through, the Lord says that it is not required of you to justify the pain that you have experienced. Okay, because here is the thing. I want to go at the root of this, is that pain does not need justification to exist. Okay, because here's the thing, is that all of us are guilty of this. I'm an Asian person. I don't know if you know this just because of my light color complexion, you know. You might not think I'm Asian, but I am. And here's one of the things, is that we are always comparing ourselves with one another, constantly. You got a red sedan, well, I got a blue one, and you know what? We get cheaper speeding tickets because it's a blue car and not a red one, so boo-hoo on you, you know? We do these different things. Like, I got a psychological degree. Well, I'm a neurosurgeon. I'm a real doctor, you know? We get all this stuff that's going on all over this. We're constantly comparing, and what's difficult is that if you apply a mentality or mindset of comparison to your pain, what ends up happening is you get in a contest to see who has the most pain, who is more justified in their dysfunction. So you don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand what's been going on. I've experienced this and this and this. And when you go into a process of trying to justify what you have experienced so that you can feel valid in feeling the way that you feel, you have fallen into a trap of the enemy, because now, in your justification, you've not found justification to feel, but a deceptive justification to become a victim. Because now you have made the argument of the devil by yourself. You just did it. Talk about like Jedi mind trick, not Jedi, like maybe like a Sith Lord thing, you know, Star Wars people out there, hallelujah. Rise of Skywalker was a disappointment. Okay. Boo. Okay. Give me the originals. But here's what ends up happening, right? Is that you're in this position, in this place, but the Lord wanted me to tell you that it is time to stop trying to justify the reality of what has happened to you, because the Lord says that I am getting ready to flip the script. I am getting ready to turn it around. I am getting ready to shift things. And the Lord says that what happens is that when you flip the script and you allow me to begin to show you that where the enemy tried to destroy you, that I have brought this to be a season where I am going to vindicate you and set you on a path of victory. So this is what happens. So I want you to raise your hands up right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I decree and declare every area where we have had to try to defend ourselves for what we've gone through and tried to justify ourselves in the realm in understanding and feeling what we're feeling. Father, I decree and declare right now, we acknowledge that these things have happened in our life. But we also acknowledge that we don't need to justify ourselves to you, to request for you to heal us and transform us. You want to do this because you love us, because you care for us. And so, Father, we receive right now. Some of you right now, your mind is going like trying to find a justification to curry favor. The Lord says, no, I'm coming with my healing anointing because I want to. Just receive right now in this place. Father, we just receive it right now. We receive of your goodness. We receive of your grace. We receive. Right now, it's going deep, you guys. It's going deep. Father, I thank you right now. There are some of you in here. This is the beginning of a deepening of lasting healing that you have been crying out for your entire life. Father, we release it over them in Jesus' name. You can put your hands down, but stay in this atmosphere because I want to tell you that it is from this position in this place in which God begins to craft and mold a warrior that is an overcomer. You see, in a world system and culture, it is a belief that a warrior is forged through fire, hardness, and aggression. But the Lord says that those that I'm raising up have a measure of vulnerability and an openness of heart that without fear for their own lives and their survival or their value, they give of themselves to fight. There's a difference between a warrior that fights for anything or fights for money, fights for whatever. There is another thing when a warrior rises to fight for an ideal and a purpose. One who chooses to fight for love. We see examples of this throughout history. And God wants you to know that it's out of this place of deep healing that he's going to cause a courage to rise up on the inside of you. In the time that we have, I want to tell you this one thing, that this next dimension of the prophetic anointing that is wrapped in a warrior mindset is that the prophetic is never meant as an escape route or for a tool for the avoidance of confrontation and pain. This is what ends up happening right now, is that there's a lot of people out there. They do everything they can do to try to find a magic pill to avoid pain. Look at the opioid crisis that we have right now. Everybody is consuming. Everybody is taking, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's food. I know firsthand food. All of these things for the avoidance of pain, of confrontation, to numb ourselves so that we do not have to begin to confront. But I want you to know this, is that the prophetic is all about confrontation. It is all about, now here's the thing, it does not negate edification, exhortation, comfort, and confirmation. Those things are valuable components of the prophetic. But when a true word of the Lord comes to you, what it does is it confronts the darkness within you. It begins to confront the pain and the brokenness with the reality of its wholeness and its life. And so confrontation is a good thing. And so what I want you to know is that in this season, you are going to receive of a prophetic anointing that begins to strengthen you on the inside to prepare you to begin to bring into this moment your season of the divine showdown. There are some things that you have been running from your entire life. There has been the judgment of man, of the failures of your past, the divorce, the whatever, the out of wedlock, the everything. There are things that you have tried to run from, even through hyperactivity to involvement in church. Because you said, if I even stop for a moment and I think about it and I look at my past and I look at my pain, it'll be too much and it will consume me. But the Lord says that that is no way for one that he loves to live, to be one that would run from the pain and at some point hope that they can outrun it. But in reality, all they end up with is a place of regret before they go before me and realize what I really had for them. And so the Lord says, it's time for your season of the divine showdown. I want to give you guys some examples of this, because here's the thing, is in Scripture, opposition never disappears. Did you notice that? In fact, it's worse. Opposition gets worse. It gets worse until you point, you're like, no, it's impossible. But then there is a man or a woman that rises up in the face of that adversity because of the word of the Lord that goes to her, him or her, and they all of a sudden understand the context and the greatness of the moment. Because the prophetic word does this. First, it identifies the reality of the situation, not as you see it, but as God sees it. The second thing that ends up happening is that God then comes in with his prophetic anointing to define your identity in the midst of what you're going through. What he is doing is he's flipping the script of what you thought was rejection, of what you thought was pain, and all of those different things. And he says, this is the reality of who you are. This is what you were born for. This is what you are. And then all of a sudden, the third thing that ends up happening is that God then begins to birth a strategy on the inside of you. And then what happens is you are strengthened to confront the very thing that had tried to rob you of your identity and your purpose. I'll give you a few quick examples, and then I want to pray, because I feel like we need to pray, y'all. We got to pray. How many of you went to morning prayer? Anybody in the morning? Oh, look at Pastor, this is amazing. Everybody's praying. But this is what I want to say, is that there's a few examples of this, right? We've got David, which I shared at the conference last year. David is this guy, total reject, drunk people. It says in Psalms, drunk people are making up songs about David. I don't know about you, but I never want an inebriated individual making up a song about David Fang. Because it's never a good thing. Have you ever seen a drunk person sing, oh, he was amazing, extremely handsome, he crushed 10,000 men with one arm? No, it's like, yeah, he woke up in the wrong city, you know, he's a cautionary tale, all of these different things. David has a horrible reputation at the beginning of the story. He's a reject. The origins of his conception are in question. All of these different things are up in the air. The chatter. How many of you got chatter in your life? All this stuff, people talking, putting your name in their mouth. My goodness. And they start doing all these different things. And so David, all of a sudden, though, what happens is he goes into the pasture, into the secret place. And he is also known and defined as a man after God's own. David receives an inheritance of something that is greater than anything that a man can possibly give. Now, here's the thing that happens is that because this is what I'm talking about. David is an outlier in Scripture, but this is what God wants to do in all of us, is inside of the pasture, what happens is that God begins to change the internal atmosphere and culture within David. So that then when he enters into a negative culture of fear, it is not affecting him, but instead he has the very thing inside of him to begin to overwhelm and begin to break the bondage off of people. This is what happens in the place of Goliath. Because when the army of the Israel is fighting the army of the Philistines, everything is as it should be. They're like, oh, you know, they're talking about each other's mamas. They're talking about what they're going to do. They're going to eat, beat each other. All this stuff. It's like regular wartime stuff. All of a sudden, Goliath comes out on the scene, right? Remember this? He like comes out. All this stuff. But here's the thing. The Israelites are not afraid when they see Goliath. It is only when Goliath opens his mouth and releases a contrary demonic decree that sets up an atmosphere of fear and intimidation where the men become weak in their own eyes. But then there is a young man, an Uber Eats driver by the name of David, coming with his loaves, his fishes, his cheese. I got greens, beans, tomatoes. I got it all, man. I'm a Lenny's sandwich shop, right? Rolled into one, man. Good God. David rolls onto the scene, and his atmosphere supersedes the atmosphere of fear. David is a warrior on a food run waiting for a mission. And it is in that moment where he begins to develop a strategy for how he defeats the enemy. Now, here's the crazy thing about this, is that we don't see God going and have a pep talk with David, right? He's like, all right, David, this is what you're going to do. You're gonna go out there, you're going to get five like stones, and then you go out there, and then like, you know, he's going to talk about your mama and all this stuff, and you just be like, oh, yeah? Well, then, David, then you're going to say this. I'm going to separate your head from your body. And God, and David's like, yeah, God, that's a great idea. I'm going to do this. Yeah, like there's not this whole dynamic of this dialogue, because what happens is that because of what God has already done inside of David, David already understands the heart of what God would do in the hour, and a strategy is released from inside of him that then begins to break the atmosphere of fear. So he defeats Goliath. The atmosphere of fear is broken. Courage rises up in the children of Israel, and they pursue the enemy and defeat them. And it is one of the most pronounced victories in all of Israel. This is a crazy thing. David is demonstrating what God wants to do now. You understand? Now, here's the other thing that ends up happening, is that there's a story of Gideon where Gideon is literally one of the boldest, most wise, most courageous men in the Bible, right? When we see him, not really, right? He is like the anti-Superman, okay? He is like the person that they don't put on Join the Marine commercials, okay? Because he's just out there. He's like, he's not even where he's supposed to be. He's like trying to hide from the enemy. But here's the crazy thing that happens, is that God brings him on a process where he has a lot of fear and he has a lot of doubt. How many of you have a lot of fear and a lot of doubt? Don't raise your hands. I know you're trying to keep up appearances with your neighbors. It's fine. But I have a lot of fear and doubt sometimes. And I do this whole thing. But here's the thing that ends up happening, is that all along the way, all of a sudden, what he realizes that he doesn't know is happening is that he's having a dialogue and interaction with the voice of God. And so that he's having a prophetic encounter through this whole entire process. What ends up happening is that at the final encounter where God tells him to go into the army of the spies, he hears his enemy release a revelation from the heart of God that says, listen, I had this dream, and I know that the meaning is this, that Gideon is going to defeat us. He's going to destroy us. All of a sudden, now Gideon has risen up with an understanding of what God has been doing on the inside of him. That all along, what God was doing was that he was forming him to become the man that he had already declared over him when he first encountered the angel of the Lord. And so now, all of a sudden, he's rising up in a mantle of a warrior. And again, he says, let us go. I know what we're going to do. Again, there's not a dialogue between God and him where it's like, all right, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get, like, jars. Like, God says, go get jars and get this, and I'm going to go out, and you're going to do this, and you're going to smash it, and you're going to scream, and all this stuff. Like, God doesn't do that with Gideon, because there is a transformation that has happened within him, that all of a sudden now, Gideon rises up, and he says, I know what it is that I am to do. And then heaven and earth rushes to enforce what he says. How many of you want heaven and earth to back up your decrees and declarations in this season? See, this is the amazing thing, is that when you rise up in this mantle of a warrior, God begins to enforce the most powerful weapon you have, which is the decree. I want to go ahead and invite the worship team to come up. And how many of you are ready to begin to activate and bring this into fruition? Amen. Amen. Well, let's go ahead. Everybody just stand up right where you are. Father, I thank you so much, Father, for what you're getting ready to do in this place, what you've already done through these amazing speakers and all of these amazing prophets that are here. Father God, you have caused this to be a gathering of your voice because you want your voice to be made manifest in each and every one of us. I heard the Lord saying, son and daughter, that I am going to begin to visit you with my voice. And that I'm going to begin to even show you the areas where I'm going to strengthen you on the inside, so that in your day of confrontation, you will not waver, you will not shift, you will not shake, but you will have the resolve on the inside of you to see it for what it is. For the Lord says that I am going to begin to reveal to you that what was mass and an impossibility was simply a stepping stone into your divine purpose and your destiny. Now, I share this story, I think a while back. I don't know if I shared it here, but for us, I'm married to my wife, Leilani. We're coming up on 2 years pretty soon here in a few months. And we're a blended family. We're a blended family. And what's amazing is that she came into the relationship with a 7 and a 5-year-old, Levi and Mahina. Amazing, amazing kids. I love them with all of my heart. even though they exhaust me. And here's the thing, though, is that we felt very strongly. The prophetic word came to us, and it said that we were to live in Florida at the ministry that I'm a part of. Leilani was based in Texas at the time. Now, because of different laws and different things, it's nearly impossible to move your children from the state of Texas. Lawyers, everyone was telling my wife, it's impossible. You'll lose your kids if you pursue this. And what ended up happening was that there was a lot of things. There was papers filed and all these different things. I don't share this too often, but 3 days, about a week before we get married, the happiest day of our life, she gets served with papers that say, we're taking your kids away. You can leave, but you're leaving your kids here. And can I tell you that it was a deep pain that we felt. And our first instinct was, maybe we need to reconsider. Maybe we need to just go to Texas. And we need to just maybe live in Dallas or whatever. And we could not shake the word of the Lord that came, because it came in a time when we didn't know that conflict was coming. And you cannot doubt in the dark what you heard in the day. You cannot do it. And so for me, I'm shaken. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm shaken. But Leilani is the one who says, no, we're not bowing our knee to intimidation and fear. All of the lawyers say, no, it's not going to happen. It's bad. If you get visitation, that's the utmost you can get. And then we begin to start believing. And Leilani said, I'm going to go face this. I'm going to show this down. And what we did with what Pastor Josh said about when he taught about the tithe and the seed, we sowed a seed. We sowed a seed into our ministry, into KC also, because I see all around me a testimony of family. And you sow into what you want. You sow into what you want. And so I took my balance in my checking account. We didn't have a whole lot of money, but I said, kids are worth it. So we sow it, and Leilani goes into mediation, and they said this is just the beginning for trial, because this is just to show that we made the effort. And she tells me this. This is how crazy my wife is. She's like, listen. She goes, I'm going to go into mediation by myself. You're not coming in with me. Because she said, when I walk in there, I want them to know and see that it's just me. I'm not hiding behind anything. So they have a whole bunch of people in their room for mediation. And here's the thing, is that Leilani at the beginning, it's not going well. She's got the word of the Lord in her mouth and in her heart, but it's not going well at the beginning because they're doing a lot of lies and a lot of things. But then all of a sudden she closes her eyes and she says, God, I did this because you wanted me to do this. Help me. And all of a sudden the tide began to shift. Because the word of the Lord came into agreement with the heart of a woman, and heaven and earth rushed to enforce what she had said. And now we have our kids with us. They're living with us. They're going to school where we are. They're doing all of these amazing things. They're Mahina's in gymnastics in Florida. We're having so much fun. God wants to bring your divine season of confrontation so that he can bring a fulfillment to the promises that he gave you even all those years ago. Right now, raise your hands up. This gentleman in the blue shirt, actually right there, you're saying, yeah, that's you. You waved yourself. Experience life. I heard the Lord saying that this is specifically also a word for you, is that if you will do and press again, that God is stamping favor on your life. There is going to be positive breakthrough and outcomes like you would not imagine. Father, I release a favor upon him now in Jesus' name. This woman right back here with like a white jacket with a black dark vest, you right there. The Lord says he's getting ready to shift the conversations and the dialogues that have been happening around you. Because what has happened is that there has been jealousy that has come, that has tried to rob you of your inheritance in him. But the Lord says, no. In this season, he's fighting for you. Everyone, raise your hands up right where you are. Father, in Jesus' name, I decree and declare that we will not run from confrontation, but that, Father, you would strengthen us with the power of your voice and your word. You would strengthen us with the sound of your voice so that we can rise up and become those strong men and women that will fight for what you have said. Right now, I want you to take off your mourning clothes. I want you to take off all of your sadness, all of the things that would try to come against your life. I just command it to come off now in Jesus' name. Father, we release a warrior mantle upon your people. We release a warrior anointing upon your people. I decree and declare eyes to see, ears to hear what it is that you have spoken. I want you to say it from your mouth. I choose to become a warrior. Say it one more time. I choose to become a warrior. If you believe it, give the Lord a shout. Amen.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, you can partner with us and give at kcalaska.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and enjoy more messages like this one.